Listen up, hustlers. I treat them bricks like the wheel of fortune. Spin it, that's why I'm rich. Sick, I should have been in softball, but I'm numero uno, trick draw four. Hey, I wave at the haters. They know it's me. I be wearing all the lasers.
Welcome to the FNTSY News Desk, brought to you by The Daily News. I'm Adam Ronis here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with you for the next half hour, getting you up to date on everything going on in the sports world. And we're going to kick it off with baseball today because we had a very exciting wild card game last night and a lot going on in this game as well. A lot of people talking about it today as the AL wild card play-in game, the Blue Jays prevail 5-3 in 11 innings as Edwin Encarnacion ended this game with a walk-off three-run homer. The Blue Jays jumped out to a 1-0 lead in the second inning. Jose Bautista got them on the board with a solo home run off Chris Tillman. Then the Orioles jumped out to a 2-1 lead in the fourth inning as Mark Trumbo, who led Major League Baseball with 47 home runs this year, he had a two-run shot. So that gave them a 2-1 lead for the Orioles. And then the Blue Jays tied it in the bottom of the fifth inning on a single, an RBI single by Ezekiel Carrera, who was 2-for-4 in this game with an RBI. And it stayed that way as it was a battle of the bullpens. You know, Tillman was okay. You know, they took him out in the fifth, 4 and 3rd, 4 hits, 2 runs, a walk, and 4 Ks. Marcus Stroman, very good start for the Blue Jays, giving them exactly what they needed. He went 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, no walk, 6 Ks, 81 pitches, 53 for strikes. Cecil came in and got an out. Jason Grilley pitched a scoreless 8th. They brought in Roberto Osuna for the 9th. He also started the 10th, but left this game with an injury. He felt a pain in his shoulder. And all indications are, talking to him after the game with the media, that they expect him to be ready to go when the Blue Jays advance to the ALDS against the Rangers, which is also going to be an interesting series because, remember, that was the team, Jose Bautista, Rougned Odor, big brawl earlier this year. A lot of history between these teams, and now they will square off starting this week. Francisco Liriano came in relief, pitched an inning and 2/3 with a strikeout, looked really good. And Liriano, since he went over to the American League and has pitched for Toronto, pitched very well, which is a little surprising. You figured leaving the National League in Pittsburgh, where he had a couple of good years, he had a 3.38 ERA in each of the last 2 years, but this year just couldn't get it done. Command was way off, and that's a problem with him. He walked guys. But he went to Toronto and pitched pretty well. Actually, we were just talking on the previous show, Fantasy Best Friends Forever, about my Tout Wars championship. And Liriano was a guy I drafted. He was the one who put me in a hole in the ERA category, a whip category early. And I wound up dropping him, but I did pick him up for the last 2 weeks, and he was in my lineup. And he gave me a really good start in that final week, although the bullpen blew it for him, and I thought that might cost me because I really needed to win. But Liriano pitched very well, and another good performance yesterday. But the big story that everyone's talking about is Buck Showalter and his usage of the bullpen here for the Orioles. We saw Michael Givens come in, 2 1/3, no hits, no runs, no walks, 3 Ks. He did a good job. We saw Hart come in and get an out. Brad Brack to come in, an inning and 2/3, 2 hits, a walk, and 2 Ks. Darren O'Day, an inning and 2/3, scoreless innings. He came in. So two of the Orioles relievers came in and induced double plays on the first pitch. We're all wondering, where is Zach Britton? He was warming up, I think, in the 8th or 9th inning. After that, we didn't even see him in the bullpen. And we all know how great Zach Britton has been this year. There's a lot of talk that maybe he wins the Cy Young potentially. He has allowed 1 earned run since May 2nd. That's 5 months of 1 earned run. He pitched in 69 games this year, saved 47, had a 9.94 K per 9, 2.42 walk rate, which is actually, you know, higher than last year. He walked 1.9. Zach Britton is a ground ball machine. He allowed 1 home run this year in 67 innings. You want a ground ball, you want a strikeout, Britton is the guy. Just dominant this year. A 0.84 whip. A 161 average against. Fly ball percentage, 8.8%. That's sick. Last year was 9.5%. 2 years ago was 11.9%. Clearly, this is a skill set he has. His ground ball percentage the last 3 years, 75.3%, 79.1%, 80% this year. Hard hit percentage, 14.8% this year. averaged 96 with a fastball, which is basically what it throws, fastball slider guy. Swing strike percentage, 17.2%. Just dominant. This is a guy you want on the mound in a crucial spot with your season on the line. So we're all sitting there scratching our heads saying, where is Zach Britton? You know, I said as they got to the 11th, he's got to be hurt. Brian Dunsing starts the inning. Okay, he gets the out, gets a strikeout. Now you bring in Ubaldo Jimenez. Everybody's up in arms. Jimenez has pitched well lately. You know, Buck Showalter mentioned in his post-game conference that Jimenez has been one of their best pitchers lately. Obviously, he forgot about Zach Britton, but we have seen Jimenez really help the Orioles get to this spot. He pitched well in September. 35 innings with a 2.31 ERA, 31 strikeouts, 11 walks over 35 innings. His best stretch, the second half of the season, over 60 and two-thirds innings, 2.82 ERA, 53 strikeouts, 22 walks over 60 and two-thirds innings. So again, command is still an issue with him. He does walk a lot of guys still. But it was better in the second half. 3.26 compared to 5.51 in the first half. But that's still a problem. But you're putting Ubaldo Jimenez into a spot that he's not accustomed to. I know he pitched out of the bullpen at times. They took him out of the rotation, but that's mop-up duty. Now you're bringing him into a spot where you can't afford to put a runner on base. And you could see his first pitch was inside, almost hit the batter. He gave up two hits to start the inning. And then with second and third, you allow him to pitch to Edwin Encarnacion. And, of course, it didn't end well. And Encarnacion with a three-run homer, the walk-off home run. We never see Zach Britton in this game. And it's inexcusable. He's got to be on the mound there. It worked out for Buck Showalter. He got away with it. He got past the 8th. He got past the 9th. He got past the 10th. And the 11th inning, you've got to use him there. You cannot have your season end with your best guy in the bullpen not even making an appearance. This was just terrible. And Buck Showalter's a good manager. He wins wherever he goes. I don't think the Orioles have the best pitching. But this was a scenario where Buck messed up. And his press conference didn't give any insight or provide any answers. He was peppered with those questions. I thought Casey Stern did a good job on the post-game show bringing it up. It seemed Gary Sheffield and Pedro Martinez were giving Buck a pass. This was a bad move. And, look, Britton might have come in, pitched the 11th scoreless, 12th scoreless, and then they could have lost this game down the road. But you worry about that. You got to get to that point, and you worry about who you're pitching down the road. You know, let Britton pitch the 11th and 12th, and then it still remains scoreless or tied, and you get to the 13th. Then you can ride Jimenez for four or five innings, whatever you need. Because I think that's probably what the Blue Jays were going to do with Laureano, since he's a starter. But this was just a real bad job here by Buck Showalter. It was a very exciting game to watch. I think the baseball postseason is going to be excellent. I think it's wide open. I know the Cubs are a heavy favorite, but I do think they can be beat. And it's going to continue tonight with a game between the Mets and the Giants. Much better pitching matchup on paper as you have Bumgarner going against Noah Syndergaard at Citi Field. Giants really folded here down the stretch in the second half. They did not play good baseball. Their bullpen was a problem. Meanwhile, the Mets, a ton of injuries and an accomplishment for them to get this far. But I expect another exciting game tonight. And we did see some roster moves already for these teams. Lucas Duda is not on the roster tonight. Probably not 100%. Remember, he's coming off a back injury. They didn't announce the lineup for the wildcard game. But probably this indicates that James Loney would start, even though it is against the left-hander. Mets are carrying 9 pitchers and 16 position players, as Josh Edgen made the roster over Josh Smoker as the second lefty. Cologne and Robert Gzelman will be available in the bullpen. Lugo is not on the roster. Eduardo Nunez for the Giants, he's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He is not on the roster. He injured his hamstring on September 25th, and he put in a light workout yesterday. So it looks like Connor Gillespie probably going to get the start there. Giants are going with 14 position players and 11 pitchers. They do have Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija on the roster for the Giants. But it was a really good game last night. And but everybody's talking about the Zach Britt move today by Buck Showalter, not bring him into the game. And, yeah, it was certainly perplexing, to say the least. So certainly a bad move there. Let's look at some of the football news here. Oh, actually, real quick, we do some other baseball news. Danny Salazar is not on the 25-man roster as the Indians have the best-of-five matchup in the ALDS against the Red Sox. Salazar is going to go to the Indian Spring Training Complex in Arizona to rehab that strained right forearm. And it's a big loss. You know, the Indians, I would have liked their chances. You tell me you go into the postseason with Corey Kluber and Danny Salazar and Carlos Carrasco, I'm feeling good, but Carrasco's not there, and Salazar's out for the first round. And Salazar was dominant. You know, Salazar was on pace to maybe win the Cy Young or be in the mix. You know, in his first 93 and a third innings, he had a 2.22 ERA and 107 strikeouts. But after that, over his final 10 starts, 7.36 ERA. So you knew something was wrong. They don't have Carlos Carrasco. He has a fracture of the metacarpal bone in his pitching hand, and he was pitching well. So now the Indians have to go with Trevor Bauer in Game 1, Corey Kluber in Game 2. And let's not forget, Corey Kluber is dealing with a quad injury. You know, he missed his last start. And they'll go with Josh Tomlin in Game 3. And then probably if it goes that far, they can bring Kluber back on short rest. So tough spot here for the Indians. You would have liked to see them full strength for sure because they were going to be a good spot. Steve Matz had surgery yesterday to remove a large bone spur from his left elbow. They expect him to be ready for the spring. Max Scherzer is going to start Game 1 for the Nationals. No surprise there. He'll oppose Clayton Kershaw. Look at the matchups we have. Bumgarner, Syndergaard tonight. We get Scherzer and Kershaw in Game 1. John Lester is going to go Game 1 for the Cubs. So we got some good matchups upcoming here. Steven Strasburg continues to throw off flat ground. They don't expect him to be ready here in this first round. So we do have some teams that are banged up in here, but we got some good matchups upcoming. When we return, we're going to go over some of the NFL injuries. We have some news on Kevin White, and it's not good. Find out what it is next here on the FNTSY News Desk on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Yo, the saga begins. Begin war. I'll draw first blood. Be the first to set it all. My cause. Tap all jaws.
Back here on the FNTSY News Desk, presented by the Daily News. I'm Adam Ronis here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as we get you up to date on all the news in the sports world. It's not looking good for Kevin White. We know he had this ankle injury that forced him to leave week four, but Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is reporting Kevin White will miss an extended period of time. And it's not coming at a good time for Kevin White owners, for those that have used him. He has 34 targets after 4 weeks. That's top 15 in the NFL. Now, he hasn't been very efficient. He has 19 catches for 187 yards, and he hasn't scored. But we are seeing that they are utilizing him heavily. Brian Hoyer certainly looking for him. And he was making progress. He was starting to feel good about him. You know, anytime you're going to get that much volume, it's someone that you want to get in your lineup, and especially with Hoyer looking for him consistently, especially a guy that missed all of last year and there was a little raw, this was looking like it was a good time for Kevin White. But unfortunately, he's going to miss an extended period of time here. We don't know how long. So that means Eddie Royal is going to get a big boost. We have seen this from Eddie Royal before, where he starts the season well and kind of gets phased out. But right now, especially this week, if you're looking at the waiver wire, he's certainly a good pickup with a matchup against the Indianapolis Colts. And maybe this finally bodes well for Alshon Jeffrey. We really don't know what's going on with him. Could be an injury. He's been on the injury report with a hamstring, ankle, something that he dealt with consistently last season. And the reason why people like Jeffrey this year is because of the huge volume. You know, throughout his career, he's averaged more than 9 targets per game. Last year, he was around 10. The only concern you had about Jeffrey this year was, would he stay healthy? Because that was something that was a big issue for him last year. He was always on the injury report with these soft tissue injuries. And also, this is a contract year for him. This is a big year for Jeffrey. He wants to get paid. It doesn't seem like the Bears are going to do it. They didn't sign him. But a lot of the people who cover the Bears saying that it's health-related, that he's not 100%. But there should be a big opportunity for him here right now to get these targets. He's got to. The ball's got to go somewhere. We're seeing Zach Mueller get the targets as well. But with Kevin White out, Alshon Jeffrey has to step up. It's time. They've got to get the ball to him. So we'll see what happens here. Trevor Siemian dealing with a non-throwing shoulder injury. Said he felt better on Tuesday, that it's sore. We'll see. It's, look, it's his left shoulder, so you know it's a matter of pain tolerance at this point. Adam Gase said that he is done using it for running back committee. Who would have thought this doesn't work? Wow, stunning news. I could have told him this in week one, and he could have avoided having to see a couple weeks here of this. But we know Arian Foster dealing with a groin hamstring injury. He didn't practice on Tuesday. Probably not going to be back. Who knows with Foster? And this is why I didn't draft him. You knew this was going to come, and it came in week two. JHI looked the best last week. It was a small sample. It was only six carries. He caught a couple passes. I was stunned that they went away from him. But it looks like JHI will be the lead back there now. So there are a lot of teams that are desperate at running back. It's really difficult in fantasy to have depth. So if Ajayi's out there, you can look at him. Kenyon Drake probably behind him or something that you can see catching passes. But Ajayi's definitely looked the best so far. So I still think the Dolphins are going to be a pass-heavy team. I don't think they're going to be committed to the run, but Ajayi certainly looked the best, and someone that, if he is on the waiver wire, because he probably was dropped. Look, I drafted Ajayi, dropped him, picked him up again, and dropped him again. So I'm sure a lot of people have been doing the same thing. We know Justin Forsett was released yesterday. A writer for the Baltimore Sun expects Terrence Lewis and Kenneth Dixon to be the two backs active this week. Dixon is the rookie coming off an MCL sprain, missed the first 4 weeks, probably going to be involved in the pass game. But you got to think Terrence West is going to get another week as the main back getting the touches here. He had 21 carries, 113 rushing yards, and a touchdown last week against the Raiders. So the schedule gets more difficult, though, for the Ravens. So don't jump all in on Terrence West. They like Dixon a lot. He's very talented, and they think he could be a three-down back. So we might see it take a couple weeks for Kenneth Dixon, but if you have him, hold on to him. I am in a couple leagues. I don't think you can start him this week unless you're desperate. I might in an 18-team league, but again, that's desperation, but you shouldn't have to in a 12, even a 14-team league. But there's going to be a big opportunity for him going forward. Doug Peterson said Ryan Matthews is healthy, and he's going to remain the Eagles' starting running back. What does that mean? Doesn't mean much. I still like Matthews the most of these four running backs. We did see they will use him in the red zone. Had a few touchdowns in the first few weeks. He only played 8 snaps in week 4 as the ankle was bothering him. I think Wendell Smallwood's definitely earned a more of a look. We know Darren Sproles is going to be involved in the passing game. And they have Kenyon Barner. I've picked up Smallwood in a couple leagues. Not going to start him this week, but I think he's a good stash. I thought Matthews would be a good fit for this offense. Obviously, it's about staying healthy, and he did miss time in the preseason with that ankle injury as well. So, again, just something to keep in mind there. But at least for now, coming off the bye week, Ryan Matthews is healthy. How long he'll stay healthy, who knows? Because we've seen Matthews get hurt throughout his career. Rob Gronkowski, according to the NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, is not himself, and that his hamstring is not healed the way the Patriots were expecting to. We had this discussion on the previous show, Fantasy Best Friends Forever. You can hear it on demand with myself, Nando DeFino, and Jake Seeley. They think it's a smokescreen, and Belichick's throwing stuff out there. Look, Gronkowski has not looked great. He has not run a lot of routes. They've asked him to block a lot, so they could have used him as a decoy just to get him out there and block. Either way, it's difficult to sit Gronkowski, especially with Tom Brady back. The Cardinals placed running back Chris Johnson with a groin injury on injured reserve, so he'll miss a minimum of 8 weeks. So that means that Andre Ellington, someone to keep in mind, if you're a David Johnson owner. I have him in a league. I might throw a bid in there on Andre Ellington tonight, just in case. They also have Stephon Taylor there. But Ellington would be the one that gets the bulk of the touches and the more explosive back here if David Johnson is out. So I would take a look at him as a David Johnson owner. You can't handcuff everybody. Just keep that in mind. Zach Ertz is going to return this week. He had an MRI on Monday on his rib, and he has received clearance. He had a solid game in week one, 6 catches for over 50 yards on 7 targets. We've seen Ertz finish the year with a bang the last 2 years and then not do much, but we'll see. I think he's going to be heavily involved in like Ertz going forward. Carson Palmer dealing with the concussion did not practice yesterday, and remember, Cardinals have a game on Thursday night against the 49ers. You better be prepared if you're a Palmer owner to have a backup. And we should know more today. You know, maybe they rule him out today officially. Julius Thomas did not play in week four. The Jags have a bye. He is expected to return for week six. He's got a left elbow injury, but they're expecting him back. Charles Sims is dealing with a knee issue. He took a hit on his right knee in week four. He didn't practice on Tuesday. Tough matchup against the Broncos, so you knew that he wasn't going to do much on the ground. What you were hoping for was some pass catches. He had six catches in week three, filling in for Doug Martin. But Sims will probably get this week here against the Panthers. Then they have a bye week, and Doug Martin is expected to return after that. We're watching the situation with the Broncos, as we mentioned, Trevor Siemian, and they expect him to play, but if not, Paxton Lynch would be the guy. Lynch filled in well last week, 170 passing yards and a touchdown. But again, different when you have a week to prepare not only the quarterback mentally, but the opponent as well. We are unsure about Tevin Coleman's status for this week. He's got the sickle cell anemia trait, and in the high altitude playing in Denver, there's a risk there for health. We have seen this in the past. Ryan Clark of the Steelers couldn't play there. So Coleman already has a tough matchup to begin with against the Broncos, although you can run on them a little bit, especially up the middle, but you got to think Devonta Freeman's going to get a heavy workload this week. So based on what we know now, Tevin Coleman is a very dicey start this week. We'll see if they even risk it. You can't play with a man's health, so my guess is he might not play, but they'll consult doctors and they'll go through some more things before they make a decision. Eric Decker said he's feeling better this week compared to last week, but he's not sure if he's going to be able to play in week five. He said he's having trouble sleeping because of the discomfort with that torn rotator cuff, and he's not ruled out surgery after the season. Sounds like he can miss an extended period of time. The Jets have discussed placing him on injured reserve. This obviously bodes well for Quincy Enunwa. He is going to see a lot more targets playing the slot. He had six catches for 60 yards last week in a tough matchup against the Seahawks. So Enunwa is certainly someone that you like going forward. I think the Jets will fare better this week going against the Steelers. Steelers have been susceptible against the pass. I know they have struggled the last 2 weeks, but Enunwa is certainly in play this week against the Steelers. We talked about Bilal Powell being more involved in this offense. 12 receptions over the last 2 weeks. He had just three catches over the first 2 weeks. And we've seen Forte's snaps go down. Over the last 2 weeks, Forte has played 54% of the snaps. You knew that workload would not hold up for a guy that is over 30 years old, has a lot of wear and tear on him going back to the days in college, to Lane, to all the production he had with Chicago, and then 59 touches the first 2 weeks. Just can't sustain that. So Powell could be sitting there on the waiver wire. I think a lot of people drafted him early in the year. Maybe they got frustrated after the first 2 weeks, not seeing much, and cut him. Certainly Matt Forte owners got to get Powell, and I think especially with bye weeks coming up, you can start Powell. So if he's out there, certainly take a look at him. Jordan Cameron, Dolphins tight end, still dealing with a concussion. He was not present for practice yesterday, and this is a guy that has a history of concussions. If you have him, cut him. There's just too many good tight ends on the waiver wire that you can pick up that are getting the job done right now. Arian Foster, as we mentioned, still not practiced, and who knows when he's going to return. He's cuttable to me. I know a lot of people, he still has that name value. People see Arian Foster, and they expect when he's on the field for him to produce, but this is not the same Arian Foster. Eli Rogers has a toe injury. He's officially been ruled out for week five against the Jets. He's out of the walking boot, but he's still not 100% recovered. So this bodes well for a guy like Sammy Coates. He's got five receptions of 40-plus yards this year, and you know he was erratic in training camp. We saw great plays. We saw awful plays. We saw mistakes, but the opportunity is here right now. I like Coates going into the year. Did cut him in a couple weeks. He's sitting out there. Coates has a big upside. Doug Martin still out of practice. Again, he's expected to miss this week. There's talk of Jaquizz Rodgers getting some more carries inside the tackles since Charles Sims struggled last week. But again, he's not a big back. Going against the Panthers this week, the Panthers' weakness, though, is in the secondary. So not someone I'm rushing to pick out. We still don't know about the status of Dwayne Washington for the Lions, but if he is out, that definitely bodes well for Zach Center, who in deeper leagues you could look at this week. That wraps it up here on the FNTSY News Desk. Stay tuned, DFS Today with Tony Sincotta, sponsored by DailyRoto.com. Up next, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Catching fevers, the only anesthesia is a bag of reefer deeper than Serafina. Pass a pin in the sack of Chiba. Hit the grim with a gym, make them call me the rapture reaper. Always left niggas flat, they used to call me flat lever. Leave them laying flat, having a seizure. I make you put your hands up as if you had something to ask the teacher. Cause yo, I'm trying to hold more paper than trapper keepers.